It's time to meet up and catch up at the Weekend Water Cooler. Now, here's your host, Gene Bolduc.
Welcome to the Weekend Water Cooler. My guest today is Penny Rich, wonderful chef, county commissioner, and mom of kids who are around over the summer. I guess we can leave that one. What do they say in politics? You can lay that one on the table.
Let's leave that off.
Yeah, we can leave that off. Note to editor. So we want to cover a couple of topics today, but the thing I am most excited about and want to talk about first is when we left off, you were telling me about these visiting elected officials. Mostly from India, also from other places, who were coming to Orange County to meet with you all and learn about running local government and about these mechanisms and running meetings and getting input from the public and whatever else they would ask you about. And so I've just been itching to find out how that went. So please just jump in and I'll tell you when we need to stop for a break.
Yeah, well, it was a fabulous visit. They came up to the Witted Building, our meeting room. And, of course, we gave them the history of the building, and they loved that. Most of the folks were from India, as you said, a couple from one from Cambodia, one from Japan.
Right, right.
And
there would have been others, but there were issues with them coming in.
Yeah, they couldn't get their visas in. So we did have a nice group, though. And they
were coming to you, just to recap, from a program at Duke.
Right, from the Sanford School of Policy. Dr. Roy Kelly was their professor or leader. I don't necessarily know. I know he's a professor at Duke, but right. I think it was just leading this sort of seminar.
Yes, thank you, Professor Kelly, once again.
Yes. And the interest really was how county government and municipal government work together.
Right.
Very interested in the water and sewer, some of the utilities, the schools, how funding moves around for the different parts of government. But one thing that was striking that I just found fascinating is they didn't understand why we would put ourselves through this. Why would we be elected officials as county commissioners and work at night?
Did they put it that way?
Well,
why do you put yourself through this?
Well, because they didn't understand. They thought if you're an elected official in America, like in India or anywhere else, that is your job.
That is your full-time job. Yeah. Right.
So they were just baffled by the fact that the county commissioners all work.
Right.
All work during
full-time.
The day. We work full-time.
And this is there.
And
yeah.
This is at night.
This is your moonlighting job.
This is right. So it was very interesting. They wanted to know how we get our committee work done. And, you know, it is, when you start talking about it, it is a lot. Everyone thinks that you're coming into government.
At the end of it, you're going, you know, they're right. We shouldn't be doing this.
It's a lot. And they didn't understand how, you know, I know a lot of people in the county or in the towns think that we are getting so much money, that we make so much money doing this job. We really don't.
I know.
And
that's how you afford golden toilets in your homes
right,
and all these things
exactly.
that you have that are a total waste of money.
Yeah. So they were very interested in zoning. I think that was something that they learned. And the reason, you know, you and I talked last time, why didn't they stay in Durham? Why did they come to Orange County?
Yeah.
And I think what Dr. Kelly was wise enough to do was he brought them to Cary one day, and he showed how Cary exploded and how you have, you know, these different kinds of zoning that has sort of like, you know, basically taken all the trees out of the ground and build, you know, development after development after development. And then he brought them to Orange County. They got a little bit of an opportunity to drive around. Of course, you know, when you drive around a little bit outside of Hillsborough,
you're out in the country,
and you're seeing cows and, you know, everything else out
there. That's right.
And so I think, like I said, Dr. Kelly did a really good job of showing them how two different counties handle zoning.
That's interesting. It's a great point.
Yeah. Orange County's still pretty rural. So they were real interested in that. And then, of course, the relationship, because we give so much money to the schools, they didn't quite understand that relationship. Like, how does it happen in North Carolina that the schools don't, you know, create their own taxes and their own way to fund it?
When it's so much money,
when it's so much money. So that was really, you know, and then each one had a specialty. So there was someone that was interested in water and sewer. And then this one gentleman could not understand the rural buffer. And why the water and sewer stop at the rural buffer. Right, exactly. Yeah, and it's funny because I think
I love
I might
the rural
have talked,
buffer.
Yeah.
I live in the rural buffer.
Exactly.
I love, love, love the
but,
rural buffer.
You know, when you start explaining what the rural buffer is and why
easy.
It was created, you know, we are unique that we have something like that.
Right.
I think they really enjoyed at the end, believe it or not, Gene, when we went around and they were saying goodbye, and it's a very, very formal setting.
Right.
When they say goodbye, they tell you, you know, what they appreciate in the conversation. They all were listening so much, and hardly any of them were taking notes, but when the feedback at the end, they were just so excited to be with us. It was just really. It was quite amazing.
What a great program. How can we replicate that in many other ways?
Yeah.
How fast can we replicate that?
I know. I asked them when I can come to their country, and of course they were all smiles and like, you know, come on over. You know, really interesting at the
end.
And
I think WCHL should go with you in the person of me.
Well, I think you should come with us.
I think I should
go.
We can record.
Yeah. Would be great.
Right.
Barry Jacobs, as you know, is a historian as well as, you know, our local sports writer. He gave quite a little bit of a history lesson also at the end.
As he does so well, by the way. Just extemporaneously, extremely impressive.
It was great. You could see they were just kind of focused on every word, just taking it all in. He mentioned Moorfields, of course, and the, you know, if you think about Orange County and the battlefield and what was going on. Hillsboro, it was, they really enjoyed it. I think that the takeaway for me was that Orange County is unique, and that we do a really good job of protecting our rural communities, our environment, but we also do a really good job, and we need to continue doing this to incorporate both the municipalities and the county together when we talk about how Orange County exists.
I think preserving history too. I think Orange County has a special responsibility for that, and you know, in the body of Hillsborough.
Right.
But I think Orange County does that pretty well. I think we're really, really careful before we just say, let's put an Applebee's right here. Well, you know, wait a second.
Let's think about it. And you know, you and I talked about this also once before, how long it takes to get things done sometimes, and we know that people don't like how it takes so long in Chapel Hill and Orange County to either build something or do something. But sometimes those conversations are really worthwhile. And I think that was a takeaway with this group also, that we kind of laughed about how long it takes to get something done.
Yeah.
You know, it starts maybe, you know, year one, and by year 10, it's complete. But the thoughtfulness that goes into some things, I'm exaggerating some, you know, 10 years.
A little bit. Yeah. Not when it comes to the Carborough Library.
The library. Which, you know, that's an interesting little concept there. I think we're good with that. That's another weekend water cooler. We could talk about libraries.
There's just a whole transforming concept of civil resources.
Yeah.
Is libraries.
Sure.
And with everything that's on the interwebs, good and bad, there's an awful lot of stuff that's available on the internet. And you know, why do you need a building with a collection of books in it? Well, you know, I wrote a book. I'd like to know that somebody has value in having a collection of books. But
yeah. Well, the trend is actually going back to libraries now.
People are going. Yeah. You want to unplug and go somewhere. And we feel pretty strongly with the incoming grandbaby that there are going to be severe social media and screens restrictions. About exposing a young child to the ubiquitous influence of all this electronic screen stuff,
right?
And the very negative effect that it can have on a child's and adult's attention span,
absolutely,
and ability to absorb. And you know that's interesting what you said about your visitors not apparently taking any notes. I bet they weren't looking at devices either.
No, they weren't, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
And someone actually brought out, instead of taking a photograph with their camera, they actually brought out a real camera to take photographs.
And everybody gathered around and said, so you've been to the Smithsonian. Where did you get that?
Right.
A little Polaroid that gave you an instant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going through some stuff the other day, and I found these Polaroids. And, you know, These pictures that I have to have been taken 25 years ago. The quality is still pretty good. And I'm saying, wow, you know, these are the things that, you know, popped out, developed right. instantly in front of your eyes. And the idea that it hasn't, that the print itself hasn't degraded very much, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to worry about that with your phone and everything, but...
No.
There's also the fact that you take so many pictures that none of them mean anything to you anymore. So,
well, that's a problem, too. Yeah. It's interesting. My son is very into photography. We were cleaning. One of the reasons they came home and helped me clean, and we found the old Polaroid. And he's like, can we get film for this? And I'm like, I don't know, but you
eBay.
Can try. Yeah. And there was one picture left, and we took the picture. And, of course, the film is so old that, you know.
That it didn't the camera out. Just laughed at you
yeah,
when you tried to
but
do.
It did spit it out. And he was like, oh, is that how
Isn't
that
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. Mom, look, I got this fascinating direct printing device.
Yeah.
It's called a camera. It's
camera.
A Polaroid.
Yeah.
Oh, we're old. Okay, well, we're gonna continue aging and step aside for just a moment, talking with Penny. Rich here on the Weekend Water Cooler. You're listening to 97.9 The Hill. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back with Penny Rich. We just had, you know, a two-hour conversation during the break, so it's through the miracle of digital recording. You didn't have to sit through all that, listeners. Thank you for staying with us. And Penny was just telling us about these visiting folks from various countries. And by the way, the Weekend Water Cooler is very, very happy to be the official roadshow radio show of your trip to visit them. And all we need is an angel to fund the trip. I already have my digital recorder and microphone, so and me.
Yeah.
And that's all I need to actually do the recording and go. So just let me know when that will be
not
scheduled.
Not in the summertime, though.
Let's not go in the summer.
No.
I think it's pretty hot in the summer.
Yeah, it's
kind of
like
India.
Portland right now. It's 116 degrees.
You know what? Medford, Oregon, what in the world is going on there?
Well, there's no
and it's not going to be over
like
quick either.
Yeah.
That's a mess. 114 today as we record on Thursday. I hope it's still there on Saturday. They need the water cooler part of the Weekend Water Cooler.
Right.
So I hope you're listening out there in Oregon. I have a friend who actually lives in Portland. Well, we both have a friend who lives in Portland now in Michelle Johnson. But I also have a friend from many years ago that moved out there somewhat recently. Emily, if you're listening, you know, stay inside, girl. Wow.
Yeah, but a lot of them don't have air conditioning. My sister's lived out there.
They don't have air conditioning. I asked her if she does. She does. She has air conditioning.
Well, so smart.
And
yeah.
I am quite confident that we are having neighbors helping neighbors with come on in and cool off.
I think so.
I really hope. And I think it's probably not too bad at night. But, you know, I wonder. This is not a desert heat. I also have, you know, family in Tempe, Arizona, and they lived in Phoenix for a long time. And they love the joke about, but it's a dry heat. It's a dry heat. That's my Aunt Val and Uncle Chris. They listen to the Weekend Water Cooler.
Oh.
They are dedicated listeners.
That's wonderful.
They always enjoy listening to you, by the way.
Well, that's good.
And so, you know, so Chris and Val, you know.
You said hello.
It's a dry heat, but it's not a dry heat in Medford, Oregon.
No.
It's a miserable, stinky, unhappy, miserable heat. And I don't know why, but like north of there and south of there, not that bad. 90s, low 90s. I don't understand the weather.
Yeah,
I think the climate has to do with it.
No.
But,
stop.
Oh, no, that's right.
Stop.
I forgot. That's a hoax, right?
It's a hoax.
So here's what isn't a hoax. What isn't a hoax is the many and sundry and fascinating changes that are happening in our political world at all. We were talking earlier a little bit about, you know, I think in 2007, if we remember back, and it all seems very adorable now, it just seems quaint. There was a lot of unhappiness about the Bush administration, about the conduct of the Iraq War, about how it is that we got into the Iraq War. And, you know, I really think that pretty well set the stage for Barack Obama's presidency. I'm not alone in thinking this. If George Bush hadn't been as unpopular a figure, George W., as he was at the time, I don't think we would have had a President Obama. I think we might have had a President McCain, but actually, I don't think so. I think we would have had President Clinton, actually. But I think that a lot of people felt at that time that even electing a woman in Hillary Clinton— I think people felt like that change wasn't big enough to kind of act as a pendulum back politically away from what happened in the Bush years. And as I say, I look back on that now, and I miss George Bush. I do. I mean, I have had a pretty substantial appreciation for how George W. Bush has conducted himself as a former president, mm-hmm. which is to say that he's been quiet.
Right.
Very quiet. And his vice president was not very quiet for half or more of the Obama administration.
That's right.
But even he has kind of, you know,
faded.
So somehow the mute button has started working
right.
on him, fortunately.
Right.
But in retrospect, contrasted with the current administration, and listening to some of the people from the Bush administration, like Nicole Wallace and Steve Schmidt, who worked in the White House and have said, this thing here that happened, this thing and this thing and this thing and this thing and this thing, I would have been fired in an hour for mm-hmm. that in the Bush White
House.
I
hear that over and over again.
Yeah. So that gives me a lot of comfort, actually, that during those years, things almost certainly were not as bad as we thought,
right.
that there was a standard.
Right. Well, I also think George Bush did surround himself with people that understood politics, that understood
right.
the three branches of government.
Yeah, the three branches of government, Senator Johnson of Wisconsin.
So you did have competent people behind him, whether we agreed with what they were
right.
doing.
And we just had a philosophical disagreement,
right.
an ideological disagreement
right.
with him. So my question for you with this huge lead up is... is you are very involved in, you're not just an elected official, you're involved in party politics. And I wonder what you think about where the North Carolina Party is, where the Orange County Party is, where the North Carolina Democratic Party is, in terms of engagement and in just sort of the overall philosophy, other than being mad and wanting payback, which, you know, I get that people would feel that way. Do you feel like the party is turning in a direction that is going to capture the imagination of the electorate next year?
Yeah.
And later, and maybe I should ask this first, yeah. are there elections this year? There is not going to be a special election this year.
There will not be a special election.
Okay.
So you're talking about redrawing the maps, but there will
right.
not be a special election
right.
for that.
Right. So we'll do that after another break.
So, yeah. It's a great question, and the answer is yes, yes, and yes. So I do believe that the North Carolina Democratic Party is involved every second of every day.
Very mobilized.
They are very mobilized. They have some good funding. The reports just came
very
out,
important.
They have a lot more money than the counterparts on the other side right now, maybe by three times.
Oh.
So it's a tremendous—
The listeners don't tell anybody that.
Right. Well, it's all public
yeah.
record, right?
Yeah.
The reports just came out.
Right.
So I could tell you, we had the Orange County Democratic Party summer soiree this past Sunday. And, you know, you expect the regular 20, 30, maybe 40 people that you see at every
right,
event
right. like
to be
Right, like a PTA
there.
Meeting. It's always the same
right,
parents.
Same
right,
same people. It's really wonderful when you walk into the Greenbridge party room and there are 200 people there.
Holy cow.
And they are people that you kind of know, that you've seen before in town,
wow.
but they are still involved. So we're talking about months and months after this horrible election,
right.
people are still there. It was a packed house. It was exciting to see younger faces because
Good.
We normally just see folks that are retiring
right.
that have extra time to work on
right.
this. So it was younger faces. Now, there is an election coming up, a municipal election, so
right.
that brought out
That's right.
some people.
Right.
But I can tell you that overall, It was just a great feeling to see so many more people. And I, you know, went and greeted and talked to a lot of folks, asked them why they were there. Mike Morgan was the keynote speaker, so they did come to hear him. But they wanted to know what they can do.
Right.
You know, any small thing they can do, they are willing to do. Any kind of involvement, they want to help. You know, people are becoming these organizers that they've
right.
never thought they were before.
Right.
Getting out the vote that we thought we were doing that for, you know, the last election, apparently not well enough.
Yeah.
So there's that. There's a good plan about working county to county now. Because Orange County, we talk about this all the time. We're in a bubble.
Right.
We know what's going to happen here.
Right, right.
So we need to take some of the folks that are willing to work and organize and take them out of the bubble and put them someplace else.
Well, you know, Aaron and I have talked about that before on the show and said, you know, we're fortunate that we have a very engaged community politically. And we were talking about this with your visitors as well, that, you know, we have, I mean, it is a little bit of a conundrum how it is that Orange County has such an involved and engaged community politically, and yet you have elections where are uncontested. It is a little bit of a disconnect there,
yeah.
But that's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
I mean, we think that happens for a number of different reasons.
Right.
But the interesting thing is that people are so engaged, and we are so rich with resources, with people who know about political organizing, study it in college, right here in town, in a world-class program of political science study and all of that. And it's like, you know, we need to bring that to other pockets of the state, not to tell them what to do, but to help them to organize themselves and bring themselves out.
And that's really important what you
really
just said.
To really get engaged.
You just said not to tell them what to do.
Right.
But help them get engaged. And that's so important. You just cannot walk into another county and say, well, this is how we do it. This is
how
you
have to do it. Hi, we're from Chapel Hill, and here's how you need to be a liberal.
It doesn't work that way. You know, it just doesn't work that way. We know that. We try to do that with a lot of things, and it doesn't work. And, you know, getting back to engagement, we were talking a little bit on the break about how many people we have on our boards and commission and how the folks that came over from other countries didn't understand how people give up so much of their time to be involved.
Right.
You know, we are really unique. Again, once again, Orange County, very unique. We have over 400 volunteers. The towns have over volunteers. Something that we do need to talk about at some point is how do we get more diversity on our boards? And you and I know we try to hit on that. Maybe we can have a whole show about that and try to get the listeners to really help us figure this one out, too.
Yeah.
Because we know what some of the difficulties are.
Right.
But year after year, we're still fighting to try and get more and more diversity on the boards. And it's just not happening.
Yeah.
So,
and it's a good question about why that is and what's missing in the outreach there, because it's not that these populations don't care about this stuff.
Right.
It's not. It's got to be something else.
Right.
I don't know if it's transportation issues or the hours, as
time
you say.
Time of the day or, you know, does it have to be something that you could...
Could we meet quarterly instead of every month and still be of service?
Or is it possible to meet, you know, remotely?
Virtually. These are good questions. And I mean, I know that with the board that I serve on, that's really a challenge. I mean, and we meet, you know, rhythmically at the same, you know, same place, same time every month and whatever. It's still difficult to get and keep quorums and to keep people well informed about the work that the staff is doing. And there's a lot of challenges there. So we've solved all of that.
Okay.
So that's all straightened out. So nothing to worry about there.
Yeah.
So we're going to come back and talk a little more about this. Yeah, you're listening. We're a little bit over on time. Nobody notices this. You're listening to the Weekend Water Cooler. We're talking with Penny Rich, one of our favorite county commissioners, because she's the official county commissioner
of
the Weekend Water Cooler. It's pretty much it. And our caterer.
That's right.
It is what it is, people. You know, when people bring food, they get preference. That's what I'm just going to tell you right now. So if anybody's out there in the cupcake squad, just, you know, check in and let us know. We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to 97.9 The Hill. Okay, we're back at the water cooler, and we're just regrouping here for a minute. So I want to continue on for just a moment about the redistricting. You know, whenever Aaron Keck does a segment about this on his wonderful program at 3 p.m. on WCHL, he has a way of recapping all of these events that that lead up to wherever we are at that point on the issue of North Carolina's very ridiculous gerrymandering redistricting that was done and has to now is under court order to be redone. And how will that happen? And were there going to be special elections? And now there are not going to be special elections. But the district maps are going to be redrawn. He has a way of doing that that is rapid fire,
right,
completely understandable, and utterly not repeatable by me. So I will say to you folks, if you really want to understand how all that works in 1 minute or less, Aaron Keck is your guy. But for me, as far as I've understood by following the bouncing ball, right now we are not going to have special elections
That's
in the
correct.
Fall.
Right.
And that means that in terms of the what's at stake here are not only the United States Congress congressional districts, is it also, am I correct that it's also the districts of the North Carolina General Assembly?
That's correct. And that's really the basis of where it started. If you look at those maps that were drawn, I guess, in 2010, and they were really, it was quite telling. And that's why, of course, they lost that lawsuit. And again, I'm not going to be as versed in this as Aaron Keck either, so I suggest everybody listen to him at 3 p.m. on WCHL, the Hill.
Every day.
No, and Aaron's great because he studies political science, daily, teaches it, talks about it, does everything
right.
he needs to do. So he's really great. About it.
Yeah, he's just got a mastery of this.
He does.
Not normal, but it's appreciated.
Well, we're not going to go that
yeah.
way.
Not normal in the good way.
In the good way, yeah.
Yes, always in the good
always
way.
In a good way. It is something that I did talk to our delegation about, and they do believe that the General Assembly, the Republicans in the General Assembly at least, have been redrawing, and because they knew that they were going to lose the suit. So there's probably a number of different
versions. So the Democrats don't work on this at all? They don't get to work on it, right? Yeah, they could if they would let them try,
but there's not
right.
there's not that that
they don't have a right to work on it.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
So these maps have to be presented on September 1st, and then there's a 15-day sort of breather, a 14-day breather to see if they're accepted or not accepted.
And is the court reviewing it at that time?
I believe that's the way. That's what's
okay,
going
so
to
Okay, so they're
happen.
Submitted, I guess. Then.
They are going to be submitted, but the belief is, and with our delegation at least, is that we should know if the maps are going to be accepted, the changes are going to be accepted by the middle of September.
Okay.
And that's really, Gene, that is right around the corner. So
it is. I mean, I'm just thinking.
Yeah.
So if it's submitted at the, it's September 1.
Right.
If it's submitted on September 1, and I'm getting into the weeds a little bit, but this stuff is important. Is that a public document at that point?
It should be.
When it's submitted to the court?
Yes.
So the Democrats will know exactly what it is that was
right.
submitted. Will they know before it's submitted?
Probably not.
If
you look at North Carolina, and every time you open up the New York Times, you see North Carolina is like ground zero for how not to be.
Yeah. How not to be.
Yeah, how not to govern. because what we see Congress trying to act like North Carolina, and on the grand stage, it's really not
it's
working
not going
well.
Great.
At all.
Yeah, it's not going
You know,
great.
North Carolina, they're getting away with it for a while, but, you and I talked
yeah.
about this. This is not...
It's short term.
It is short term. So, I think it's going to be very revealing on the 1st. And, that's when people start coming back and around and start thinking about, okay, summer's over. We really need to start paying attention again. Our delegation is, of course, very, very interested and concerned whether they be double bunked or, what happens to their seats.
Right.
I don't think that David Price is too concerned about his, he looks like the boot of Italy, his district there. I think those maps have been drawn and redrawn and redrawn. So I think they are ready to go with those.
Yeah.
We will see. I think whatever the case is going to be, it will weaken some of the districts for the Republican Party.
Right.
There's no way around it. I mean, if they
could scarcely be stronger than they are right now.
Or
rigged in their favor. That's what I mean by being strong.
But I think the feeling is that they know that they're going to lose some seats, and they're concerned about it.
I wonder if there's no way to know this, but I wonder if they were running on their current composition. It seems to me like they'd probably lose some seats anyway.
I think that's right. Well, and I don't think that the federal government is helping them right now. I don't think that President Trump, oh God, I can't believe I just said that.
I know.
Is
don't you feel like you should have to put a dollar in the swear jar when you say that?
Something. Yeah. It's interesting. I saw someone wrote put a picture on Facebook with them at Motor Cove on New Year's Eve on 2015. Instead of writing 2015, wrote 2105, just a typo mistake. And I put a little blip in. I'm like, oh, so we survived the presidency of Donald Trump.
Oh, well, that would be good news, right?
So it's
we
survived.
If his clone was doing something,
humanity
in 50
survived.
Years, I guess that would mean at least we survived.
Yeah. I mean, I think on the good side or a bright side is that we don't have to spend money on a special election, because that costs every single county has to put money in for a special election.
That's true.
So, and it's not nothing. I mean, every time we start talking about all these elections adding up or special or, you know, I don't want to go back to membership dues or anything like that, but it turns out to be money that we could be spending on other things.
Those are affordable housing, which we keep going back to. Yes.
It could be spent on that. So it looks like the election will be at a regular November election time. So even though they have to redraw the maps, they get to stick around for a little bit longer.
Their influence and their grip on process is probably, if not certainly, reduced. Because what they do in 2018 is going to have to change in order for them to be viable, to be reelected. So there's that. They should be. I know they listen to the Weekend Water Cooler. They should be stepping back from the edge a bit.
I think, wise. I think you and I could probably agree on this. I don't think that the way that gerrymandering with either party is a good thing. I think that these districts should be drawn by independent, outside. And if you look at, you can break that map down pretty well to know what a district looks like.
Yep.
I don't think the Dems should do it. I don't think the Republicans should do it. I think it should be independent of either party.
I was listening to an interview, I think, on this radio station in 2010 while driving in my car at lunchtime, a wonderful interview that was done with none other than Ellie Kinnaird, who said exactly that. And she said, you know, these districts are now going to be redrawn by the Republicans, and they're certainly going to draw them to their advantage. And she said, you know, I've been saying this for a long time. I don't think it's right when Democrats do it and it gives them an unfair advantage. And I don't think it's right when Republicans do it and it's bad for us as a state.
Absolutely.
I just don't think anything truer was ever said on the radio, nor did anything ever predict more problematic issues in governance, just in governance, being able to just get things done that stay in place. I mean, I don't even want to, as much as I think lawyers have a right to make a living as much as anybody, man, oh man, they get a lot of employment, and all the lawsuits that come from things that are not done, you know, in the public interest.
But Gene, it's our tax dollars.
It is. We're spending a lot of it on lawyers.
That's right.
Yeah, like I say, you know, let's employ lawyers some other way. Maybe we should come up with a lawyer full employment program that's constructive instead. So we'll think on that during the break. You're listening to you would not believe what we think about during the break. Yes, you would. Yes, you would. We'll be back in just a few minutes with our closing moments with Penny Rich. We're listening to the Weekend Water Cooler on 97.9 The Hill. Okay, we're back for our closing moments here with Penny Rich, Chef Penny Rich. A wonderful chef, by the way, I would just add on a personal level. So, Penny Rich, so we were talking about your visitors from overseas and their fascination with how in the world it is that Orange County gets hundreds of people to volunteer there, not only gets you to work as basically a second full-time job, as a county commissioner, but also that you get hundreds of citizens to volunteer, people who are often, not me, but people who are often people with advanced levels of education who are really expert in various areas, who give you really terrific professional advice on public policy. And they were fascinated with how in the world can this happen. And so I have a theory about this. You'll tell me if I'm right. I think that this is a reflection, and by the way, I don't think that this is just so very typical of local governments across the country.
No, I
agree.
I think
that Orange County is exceptionally gifted in this way. And I believe that it's because of our population, broadly speaking, being very well engaged with the local government at the school board level, at the city council level, and at the county commissioner's level. And I think it's because we have faith in these institutions. I think it's a matter of faith. I really do.
And I think you're right. I also think, you know, we mentioned briefly in the beginning of the conversation of how Orange County is unique. And I think that in a way, it's always been this. People have always been involved. You know, you got to remember the university was the first public university. So you had folks that came here for the university, but then they also were involved with the town.
They developed the town around the university.
Around the university.
Right.
So I think that continued relationship has brought other folks into the realm of government. And, you know, local government here, if you need to get something done, you can get it done.
Right.
You can call your local. You can call us. You can text us. You could do, I mean, Facebook. There's so many ways to get in touch with people now that are running our towns and our county.
And our elected officials, like you, are out and about. And I know I have little doubt that when people see you in the grocery store, if they have an idea.
Right.
That, or a problem that they want to talk to you about, that if it's a quick thing, that they'll bring it up to you in the grocery store and that you don't have this kind of lofted perch attitude about it.
Right.
Because it is not. It's not, I'm going to give this example, which might be unfair to doctors, but it's not like a doctor saying, I'm sorry that your back is bothering you. Why don't you make an appointment with the office and come on in and let's have a look at it. I'm not going to take care of it in the produce section of the grocery store.
Right. Now, I'll give you a flip side of that. Someone got me in Whole Foods this morning.
See?
They live in an area off of MLK, and they are having a problem with a Fox family that's living under their house.
And that's not Carl Fox and his relatives.
This is actually a family of animals. And the fox is starting to get a little bit testy when this one person tries to get into the car in the morning to go to work. So we had animal services go out and to see if we can fix it. And, you know, today was the follow-up conversation. They were amazed that animal service the very next day.
They just showed up right away.
They came out to see what they could do.
They didn't even have to bribe you.
There was no question about it. They were going to go. Now, the fox is back, so that was what today's conversation is.
And part of what that is, and I find that when people experience this in a school district, it's the same thing. You know, when you go to the classroom teacher, then you might have to go to the principal. And ideally, that would be the end of it. It's pretty rare that you'd have to take a problem to the superintendent to the school board. The problems that are usually solved with the greatest satisfaction for the customer, which is the parents and the students, is probably the problem that's solved at the closest proximity to the problem itself.
Right.
And this is a customer service truism that you need to empower your employees very much so at the frontline staff level so that they have the authority to solve a problem. Oh, you bought that from us. It's broken. Here, let me take that and let's go get you another one.
Fix it.
And let's fix it right away. And the rest is paperwork. The first thing we need to get straight is that you made a buying decision and you came in here and bought it. And now something's gone wrong. We need to fix that right away so that you continue to associate us with a happy buying experience. And I think smart governments, local governments, are taking that kind of approach. But, you know, it does come back to basically, in some part, an article of faith or acting in good faith, and that we do still have a pretty strong confidence in our local government system and that this is an institution that is functional and is working for us.
Right.
And that's why you can get hundreds of people to take their own time and volunteer and contribute.
Yes.
And you probably could not possibly run the Orange County government without that stage.
You'd have
to expand the number of positions in the government significantly to take up for not having those volunteers, right?
Over 400 in Orange County. If you think about that, over 400 people.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people. When we try to have gatherings with all the folks that are on boards and committees, you know, we really can't think of a room big enough to put everybody in.
And that's also, I think, part of the reason, other than effective staff work, and we're out of time, of course we are. I think that's also one of the reasons that Orange County has such a high conversion rate on collecting taxes. You know,
that's
people
right.
see what they're getting for their money and they say, well, okay. You know, taxes are the price we pay for a civilized society. A wise person whose name is not in my mind once said. But that's how I look at it. That's how the Weekend Water Cooler takes it in. Thank you for joining us, Penny Rich.
Anytime. I love coming in.
Well, we're always happy to have you, even if the temperature in the room is not always perfect. But, you know, the thing is, WCHL is a cool place to be, so bring a jacket.
You just bring a jacket.
Just be ready. Bring a jacket. It's always cool. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us, and we'll catch you next weekend here on the Water Cooler.
Follow Gene on Twitter at Gene Bolduc and tweet your comments and questions with the hashtag WCHL.